Let's read from the first epistle of Peter. It's chapter 1. Getting at the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be delivered in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, or in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's works, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, I'd like to point out one or two things before we get into our thought, our theme of thought here. The word of God is so exciting to me, and it's so edifying. It's just, as Samson said concerning his wife that he got from the heathens, I got this that didn't come from the heathens, and it pleaseth me well. It pleaseth me well. So it says here that we receive the end of our faith. You know, we believe, and the end of our faith as to the finishing of holding on to our faith, not casting away our faith. But the Bible said, hold fast to your faith, even unto the end, and the same that endureth to the end, they shall be saved. So then, receiving the end of your faith, after you've lived your life of believing, it says, which is the salvation of the soul. Salvation, of course, a lot of times we don't understand it, but it means deliverance, being delivered, as well as the other things. It means deliverance. So in the days of Noah, the salvation of the people at that time was the ark that was prepared as to the saving of Noah's house. And it says here, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. That is to say, in the days of the prophets, they inquired, they made inquiry. That is, they went to God, and over and over they inquired of God about this great salvation. The great Holy Spirit, as Christ with them in that day, kept telling him there was going to come a great day of salvation to Abraham's seed and a great deliverance. And even when John came as to prophesy, the Holy Spirit came upon John Baptist's father. John, being filled with the Holy Ghost, John's father, spoke of this being the time of the fulfillment of this great, wonderful thing that the prophets inquired about, saying that in God is ordained that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And thou, O son, it was said, shall go before the Most High to make a way for him. Now, it says these prophets inquired. As the Spirit moved, they would ask God questions. When is this beautiful day coming? When is this great thing coming? That is to say, when is Jesus coming? Or the Messiah coming? Or the Christ coming? When he's going to bring us this wonderful salvation to rule and reign with us forever. When will this be? For they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. They embraced the promise that was given to Abraham that in Isaac shall all nations be blessed. And they confessed that there were pilgrims and strangers searching for a city who hath found, or that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. To be ye holy, for I am holy. For he's looking for a holy people. To be holy in body and to be holy in spirit. This is what God is asking us to do. So it said, and the prophets search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And they gave forth prophetical utterance of this great day of the coming of Jesus, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Have you noticed that Christ was with them? In the Old Testament, he was with the prophets. They prophesied by the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that you prophesy by and I prophesy by, the same anointing that I preach by. It's the same God speaking through me to you as spoke through the prophets to them. And it says here that they prophesied of these things. And it was the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Not just on them or with them, but in them. Though they did not have the gift of the Spirit, yet the Spirit was with them. But they did not have the gift of the Spirit in that they could say that the Spirit belonged to them and that the Spirit was theirs. And that they were one with the Father. And not until the Son came as to bring in sonship could we testify that we are one with our Heavenly Father. And we now have His Spirit within us, not only as they did, as that which passed through them as the wind would blow through the house and be gone, but that it has come to take up its abode within us. And it never leaves us, it never forsakes us, but it's eternally with us. And because of that, we have eternal life, because that Spirit is life. And when that Spirit would come upon them, they had that supernatural life. As when the Spirit came upon Samson, he had that supernatural power. And when the Spirit was upon the prophets, they did supernatural things. When it lifted, they were just like anybody else. But with you and I, it isn't like that. We are not just supernatural. When the Spirit comes upon us, we are born the supernatural of the Spirit. We are born in the, we are born again. We pass from death into life. And we are eternal. We have eternal life. We have eternal eternal endurance. We have eternal knowledge and riches and power. And we are more than a supernatural act of God by inspiration. We are God's. We are eternal, supernatural. We are God's. So with us, it is different. But it says here that they prophesied of that, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. It wasn't unto them. They only prophesied of it as coming to us. The things which are now reported unto you, as Paul preached it to them, of course, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Paul said, now it is the minister preaching to you by the Holy Ghost that has been sent down from heaven, which is the Spirit of Christ. If I go not away, the Comforter of the Holy Ghost shall not come. But I go away, and then I send you another Comforter, even the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they see him not. He's invisible. So then we have this Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven, even the Spirit of Christ, and therefore we preach to you by this Holy Ghost, Paul said. Said, now in that we're preaching to you, said, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember your mind. I say your loins. He said, the loins of your mind, for out of the loins comes forth the seed of life, and out of your mind comes forth the life as to the spiritual things of God. For the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So it says, to gird up the loins of your mind. Don't be wandering around in your mind, surmising in your mind, thinking evil things in your mind, doing things that you ought not to in your mind. For Paul said, we serve God with the mind. And he said, let this mind be in you, even the sober mind of Jesus Christ, who being made in the image of God, of the form of God, he felt that he could be equal with God, in that a man's son is equal with a man because both are human beings. All right, so I don't know what my Heavenly Father knows unless he reveals it to me. I cannot do what my Heavenly Father does unless he works with me and allows me to grow into that measure. Neither can the little son do what the dad does until it grows into manhood. But we are ordained as the little child to grow into the full stature of the fullness of the image of Jesus Christ. So then it says, the prophets inquired, how long shall this be? This great wonderful state of ecstasy that we feel in this great wonderful prophetical utterance, God, that you give forth through us to the people, and you witness again and again of this great coming Messiah to the Christ. How long shall this be? For they felt that when this happened, that this was the coming of the Lord. How long before the coming of the Lord, when we're all going to be together and we'll never have any more problems and worries? We're prophesying of it. We hear about it, but how long? And then all of a sudden, he came. All of a sudden, he came. And there he stood upon the earth. Even the Messiah, Daniel said, shall come. And there he was. He came. Just like they prophesied, he came. And how wonderful it was when he came. But those that had been brought up under the prophets, those that had been brought up under the law, though they'd been told about all these things, yet they didn't recognize him when he come. He come and stood in their midst. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scripture to us by the way? And they testified of it, but they still didn't recognize him. And the Bible said God was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Now, it goes on to say, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. You know, people are drunken off of the cares of life, buying and selling and laughing and talking, gesturing and doing all these things as to their carnality of reasoning in their minds and wallowing in the mire of their own human vomit. But it says here, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Don't lose your hope. hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then what was these prophets prophesying of? They were prophesying of the day of the coming of the Lord. So he came. Now, when he came, what happened when he came? The ones that supposedly was to receive him rejected him. So then someone said he went away. He did go away. Someone would say, then if he went away, then what? The prophets prophesied he would come. He did come. And now he's gone away because they did not receive him. Then what? Do we wait for him to come again? Yes. Those that saw him go, it was said to them, as ye have seen me go, so I'll come again. Just as you've seen him go, the angel said, so shall he come again. As he lifted there from the mount, the Bible said he'll return in like manner and set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And so then the same Jesus will come again because he went away. And he will come again to those people. For it was said to those people that ye did not recognize the day of your visitation. And because you did not know the day of your visitation, now your houses are left unto you desolate. That is the spiritual house. Until ye shall say, blessed is he when he returns. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. For they'll see the nail prints, and they'll see these things, you know, and they'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So he went away. But the question arises, did he stay away all of this time? It was said that when Aaron went into the tabernacle, into the temple as to the holies of holies, when he put on his beautiful garments, and if he tarried long and returned to the people knew that when he tarried long, the wrath of God was upon him because it was not well. But if he returned quickly, they rejoiced because they knew all was well with them. And I say this again. Did he go away? He did go away. Will he return? He will return. He will. But has he tarried long for hundreds and hundreds of years and soon be a couple of thousand years? Did he tarry long? He still tarried. He hasn't come back. What does that mean to the world? It means the wrath of God is upon humanity. But did he tarry long is to come back to you and I? Of course not. He immediately went away, ascended to the right hand of the Father, set the bodily atonement there as the vesture dipped in blood so that our sins would be gone because the Father would see the body that he had smitten on the behalf of you and I, and it would be right there ever reminding him. And then he hurried back, and within 50 days he was back and in the heart of men. He had told them at the Last Supper, he said, drink this wine, for this is my blood, and eat this bread, for this is my body, and this is the Passover, as to the Passover lamb in the Old Testament. Thus it was being fulfilled as a lamb without spot and blemish, offered for your sins and mine. And it was said that I will not drink this with you again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And he hurried back, and in 50 days from the departure, he came back into the heart of mankind, and he knocked on the door. He said, I stand at the heart's door, and I knock, and whosoever will open unto me will have the supper all over again. And I will drink this anew with you in my Father's kingdom, for I will come in and sup with you. And they open up the heart's door, and in came Christ Jesus, the Holy Ghost. And today he is within my heart, and I'm having that feast of charity, and I'm supping with him, and he's drinking this wine anew with me, in the kingdom of my heavenly Father, which kingdom is within me. And so then we're rejoicing together because he hurried back. All is well with me. All is well with me. So then when they prophesied as the prophets of the coming of the Lord, so it came to pass. And what happened? The Lord is here, as Brother Taylor said. He is here. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says you're Antichrist. That is, you're anti to the truth. You're Antichrist. For the Bible said, if any man denies that Christ is come in the flesh, he is Antichrist. So then Christ is come in the flesh, and Christ is here in the flesh. And we're bone of his bone, and we're flesh of his flesh. And it is his mind, it is his voice. It is his eyes. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil. And the Bible says that his hand hath come forth unto you. To whom hath the hand of the Lord been revealed? And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said that we've got royal blood flowing through our veins because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then Paul said, then it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So the prophets prophesied diligently unto the coming of the salvation. I can't see how that anybody would be an heretic. That they would teach that you've got to keep the law. When those that were under the law and to whom the law was given, the Bible said none of them kept it. And Jesus alone fulfilled it when he was accused of breaking it. As to accusing him because he transgressed the tradition of the elders, purposely to provoke them, to cause them to say things, to bring out the wrong thing that he knew was in them, in that they were trying to lead the people. And Jesus said, hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees, that is religious figures. As to religious heads of today, it's the same. He said, the blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. So he said, ye blind guides that strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. See, so then, under the law, no one kept it. But we that are not under the law, we have kept the law. For the Bible said, when these to whom the law was not given, keep the law by the things of the heart, as to fulfilling the law in love, in that the law is fulfilled in one word, and that's love. He said, shall not they receive the blessings and reward of God when you, to whom the law is given, that you don't keep the law? Not any of you keep the law. And said, the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentile people because of your confession of goodness and righteousness. And you are a wretched people, blind, naked, and miserable. And the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost. So then the prophets prophesied of this. Why then should we, as Paul said to Peter, teach people as to the ritualistics of do's and don'ts as conforming to the law, rather than teaching them to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and coming into the presence of God that they might praise the Lord, to love him with all of their minds, all of their heart, all of their strength, and the Bible said all of their might. You know, let's do something for God with all of our might. Let's put our might into it. You know, not half-heartedly give unto God, but be a cheerful giver and give with diligence and give with love and concern and be jubilant. And when we go to dig or to hammer or whatever we go to do in the world is to build or to help God or to evangelize or whatever it might be as to our burden, as to our travail, as to our labor, let's do it with all of our might. Let's put everything we've got into it. When you go to pray, the Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you go to pray, put all you got into it. Jesus prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. He put all that he had into it. All of his might was in it. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And we said of Daniel, Daniel prayed. And 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 the Bible said to you and I, pray always. Pray when you're kneeling down. The Bible said, pray when you're standing. Meditate in his laws day and night. Never stop praying until you bring every thought into subjection as to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that you might do the will of the Lord and please the Lord. Before Enoch's translation, it was said that he had this testimony: he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the Bible says, because of this, he had faith, and by faith, he was translated that he should not see death. So then we know that we have to have faith. And that faith is in the Word, which is his Christ. In what he hath told us concerning Jesus and Jesus' righteousness. I cannot be saved of my own righteousness. I brought out the little illustration about the two men in the temple. Numbers of time. I cannot be saved by my righteousness. Under the law, they could not be saved by bulls and goats as to the blood. But folks, today we have the salvation of the Lord Jesus that has brought us eternal salvation through the faith of Christ Jesus, by which we're sanctified. And today we are sons of God. Not going to be, but we already are. And the writer said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Sometimes we say something about a prophet. This is kind of comical, but you forgive me. I don't mean it wrong. But a lot of times we have little children, spiritual children, you know, and when they catch somebody else around that's you know, smaller than they are, you know, they say this and steel and this and iron or this and steel and this and, you know, how the little story goes. This and don't get you, this and will. I remember that so much when I was a little boy, you know, and somebody come around and popped up that little old muscle, you know, and start talking like that. I wanted to back off. And we had somebody the other night to pop up his muscle, and he told somebody, he said, I'm Elijah. I'm Elijah, so I just said that to let you know, that's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful. You know, this one is a fireman, and this is a policeman, and this is a doctor. This is an Indian chief. But I tell you what, folks, I know something better than being Elijah, and that's being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as a son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Can't get no better than that. Can't get no better than that. All right, so today we are the beloved of God. We are the sons of God. We are the great, wonderful sons and daughters of God. And we are walking with the Lord. We have God with us. And if anybody so much as even thinks wrong about us, it upsets the Lord. The Lord said to them, people said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? What are you gathered together for? Is it not against my Christ? See, and we're the body of the Lord, and inasmuch as you do it to the least of these, you do it to God. And in the day of judgment, the saints will judge the world, because they're going to judge them on the basis that people have not done right toward them. Did you know in the coming millennium that the Jews are going to judge the nations on the basis that they, being the apple of God's eye, during the time of their travail, during the time that they were rejected of God as to be the scapegoat and blinded in part for the Gentiles' sake, that they were mistreated by the nations, and that God is going to make them the head of the nations and bring all of the nations before them, and that they're going to have to stand there before the Jews, and the Jews is going to judge them for all of the cruel, wretched things as to the Holocaust and whatever. And that is in that capacity of life. But you and I, in the spiritual capacity of life, will judge all, including the Jews. We will judge all humanity. According to what they've done to us, they've done it unto God. And when the Bible says concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, it was said when the Lamb stood there, it was said, open the book. And the Bible said, and the book, it was open, and the books were open. So then the book was open at Calvary, the rent veil, and the veil was rent in twain. And the message came down through the church ages. And for seven dimensional ages, the pages flipped over and flipped over. Until today, the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ is here. Because in the lifetime of Jesus, he fulfilled every bit of it. And then at Calvary, the book was closed. As to the Old Testament, all of the law, everything was fulfilled. And the book was closed. When the book was finished and the book was closed, seven seals were put on the back of it. And those seven seals had to do with the seven angels. So a seal is a spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of the redemption, that is, of your bodies to the purchased possession. So the seven seals being put on the back of the book, the seven church ages came, and the seals were loosed, and the Lamb took the book when no one else was found worthy. And the Lamb loosed the seals thereof. Well, that is to say that Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Christ, who spilt His blood for us, or gave His blood freely before the world ever was, and gave us these things, that same Jesus fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law and all of those things that were given to Moses. No man has ever done that before. No man has ever done that since. But He fulfilled every bit of it. For the law and the prophets could not pass away until every jot of the law was fulfilled. And then it became a foundation upon which everything was to be built. So then, we building upon the foundation of the law and the prophets, we find out that that was fulfilled, that was folded up. And when that was folded up, laid away, the Lamb sealed it on the backside. Having the seven eyes of God as to the Spirit, the horns of God as to the Spirit, walking up and taking the book, He alone could open the book because it was with His death He sealed the book. It was by His death that He sealed the book, that He finished all of the program of God. And then when it come time to open the book and loose the seals thereof, He alone could open the book and loose the seals thereof, because the opening of the book to loose the seals thereof was to bring forth the revealing as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So He alone could bring the revelation. This is why Paul said, it is not me living, but it's Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. That is to say, to open the books. Open the books. For He said it is Christ that liveth in the midst of those churches that He has established. And in the end, that showed it is Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, as to having the seals and the candlesticks, as to the churches and the church ages, as we call it, and the seals as to the candlesticks, and having the messengers there. So then we find that the seals were loose, and no one in heaven nor in earth nor under the earth was found worthy to loose the seal thereof. And John said, and I wept much. And then a voice said, don't weep, John, for the Lamb, or the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Because He had sealed the book of the Old Testament from Calvary all the way back, being the prophet likened to Moses. For Moses said, and God shall raise up a prophet likened unto myself, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And so then the prophet came that was likened unto Moses. And when he came, he fulfilled all of that side of Moses. And then he came to the cross, as to the crossing of the great Jordan, and the Christ, as to the Joshua, stepped out. And it was no longer the record as to the book of the Word made flesh, as to the natural side of the law, as to the fulfillment within His body. Every jot and tittle had been fulfilled of that. Now it was the spiritual revelation of that side of the Joshua that went over the carnal mind, as we would say, to make the light stand still, or to give us one endless day to where God can fight our battles, where God can conquer for us, and where God can make us what we need to be. So He loosed the seals thereof, and He brought in another day. And what was that wonderful loosening of the seals as to another day? It was a few short years after Calvary, when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he saw the door open in heaven, which was the door that Peter opened when the Lord gave him the keys. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. And here down through the church ages, they had come to recognize it and see that the door was now open. And the voice said, come up hither, John. And when the voice said, come up hither, John found himself passing through that door and standing in the midst of the 24 elders, standing before the throne, and saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah come to take the book. He was as a lamb. And now he was the Joshua of God, opening on this side of Calvary in what John called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Paul said, saying the revelation was given unto me, and the preaching here, as we read in Peter, where he said, and the end, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. He said, and this salvation for which the prophets searched diligently, prophesying of the times and seasons when this would come. And he said, receiving the end of this faith, which is the salvation of your soul, which will come at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is when Christ himself begins to speak to you and tell you who you are, and what you are, and where you came from, and what it was with you before the foundation of the world, and what it is with you now, and what it will be with you in the future. And of course, you can't understand that, you can't see that, you can't receive that except it be given you of God, and it has happened accordingly, just exactly like it was said. And the great man of God came as Paul and stood and said, and there was made known unto me the revelation of Jesus Christ, and now it's not me living, but the Lord is here. Let's give him a hand. So John said, when the revelation comes, then the end of all things is at hand. Why is the end of all things at hand when the revelation comes? Because the revelation is the cracking of the shell. And all things to you is but the lying vanity of the shell. And when the shell is cracked, then the shell is thrown away. And then that which brings forth the life and the energy is revealed, and you see it as it really is, until the shell is cracked, until the veil of Calvary is made manifest in your day as to what happened at Calvary. Then you're still within that old shell. The embalmers call you a shell. That's their terms. And you're still within the shell, and you've never gotten out of the cocoon. There you are unto death, never having gotten out of the cocoon. But when the shell is broken, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The old cocoon is rent. The veil is rent in twain. The Bible said to rend the veil in twain, making within himself a new way, bringing a more sure word of prophecy. And as to the rending of the veil, having made in himself twain, as to the separation of the two, made in himself two, then rending the veil in two, the Bible says that is to say of his own flesh, of rending the spirit from the veil. And as it was in the days of Joseph, when the harlot as to the world laid hands on Joseph, being typical as to revelation, seeing it and bringing it. Then when the woman as to the harlot laid hold on Joseph and tried to force him to commit evil with her, he rend himself out of the veil. He rent the veil and left the veil of the clothing within her hands and fled from her before he would sin against his master. Being typical of Jesus, when the world closed in on Jesus and Satan offered him everything, took him up on the mountain and showed him the whole world in a moment, and did everything that he could to get him to commit harlotry, he rend himself, the Christ rend himself from that fleshly veil, tore it in twain, and he went away to be with his heavenly Father, and he left the garment as to the body in the hands of the harlot as it lay within the grave of this world. So, as the life of Joseph, even until the time he was set at the right hand of Pharaoh, so it is with Jesus as to the story. Down in the dungeon, and the many things that we brought out by revelation that's on recordings here that they have. See, so the Lord has rent the veil in twain. It has been rent in twain. Brother Taylor sang that song, and he rent the veil in twain. Let angels bow down before him, as the song says. Kings and queens come to worship him because he is Lord of lords and he is King of kings, and he's rent the veil in twain. So then why is the world at an end at Calvary? Why did Peter say that this is the end of the world? Why is it that at the rent veil, which is the revealing of the Ark of the Covenant that's hid within the Jesus, which is the Christ, why is it at that time That's the end of the world, because the end of the world is vanity. It's but a shell. And when the little chick is hatched out, when it pecks its way out, that's all there is to it. It escapes the weasel. It escapes the shell. The prison or the imprisonment of that environment, it breaks out of it. And then as the butterfly, it's free from the cocoon, as to the old worm. So then we're free from that which is born of Adam, as to the worm, which is the serpent. And that inner man is breaking loose. That spiritual, angelic being that belongs to the heavenlies is breaking loose. And so that we find that we're free from the law of sin and death, because the law brought the curse as to being a punishment, as in our day, even the natural law, upon those that were guilty. And those that were guilty was all that was born of Adam, which means sinful flesh. But when the body of this death was taken away, as to the old cocoon, when it was gone, the worm was gone, and the serpent seed was smote at Calvary. And coming over the flood on this side, you don't find it anymore. You don't find it anymore. See, it could not get over the flood because it was smitten on the other side. As to Cain, as to his seed, it ended it there. And it was all gone. As to the natural serpent seed, and there was nothing left except those that come over that had to do with the sons of God, as to Adam being the son of God, and those that come through the flood as Adam's seed, which was Noah and his children. So then we find out that God cut it off. He cut it off. See, and this that came over was God's. It was God's. See, I know you could say, well, Brother Pike, the women wasn't Noah's seed. Go back and check it out. And as it was with Jacob, they went down and got of their own family. But the thing is, a woman don't give seed. It's only in Mary that a woman compasses a man. So there could not have been a seed have been brought over with the woman, nor could it have been in that the woman would be with child to bring a seed over. They were on the ark too long for that. That rules that out as to anything happening as to record. So then God was showing us that on the other side of the flood, that ended the natural serpent seed. That ended the generation. God brought death to end that thing, to do away with that thing. See, but on the other side, it became a spiritual thing. And out of the loins of Isaac came both, as it was with Cain and Abel. So, as through the years, then came Esau and Jacob from the same father. So it was evident that it was a spiritual thing. And it's continued on to our day, that now that the veil has been rent in twain, it makes it obvious that coming over the flood being as in the days of Noah, this is as the waters of Noah to me, now the veil is rent in twain, and we're over the flood of the wrath of God upon that ark of the body of the Lord Jesus, out of which went the dove of the Holy Ghost and the raven of the devil, in that he was made in the image of sin, and the body was given unto sin, as the Lord withdrew from it to trap Satan in that body, that is to say, the raven. And he was smitten of the Father, and that was done away with, and Satan was taken away. And Jesus said, and I destroyed him that had power over death. But the old raven, as to the wild imagination, as to the lying vanities, still is out there today on those dead bodies that's floating around. The old buzzard eating those dead bodies. But the dove beautifully returned back to the ark, went away, got the leaf from the tree of life, returned at Pentecost, went back into the ark of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body ye are and members in particular, and remains there under the waters. John saying, and these people were waters as to symbolic, and these waters waiting till they subside. Those waters of corruption with those dead bodies waiting until they subside. And then when they're gone down, in that every hill, high hill under heaven was covered, in that they've gone down more and more, they're decreasing now. They're going down more and more, and their corruption is being shown more and more. And down, down, down they go. Coming down. Coming down. See, and with this, the dove is getting ready to spread its little wings now. Getting ready to go out. And when it goes out this time, it won't return because it will find the millennium. It will find that wonderful tree of life. It'll find the sign of life. And it will remain. And then we'll know that it's time to come out of the bodily ark as to the natural side of the tutoring. And that we will not be under the tutoring as to the Moses side of it anymore. But we will accept the fact that we've crossed over the Jordan as to the intellectual and will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump to enjoy that wonderful new earth that's called the millennium. Let's give the Lord a hand. So the days of the Gentiles are expiring. They're going. They're leaving. They're completely being put away. So with the rent veil, there is a separation. There is a separation of the two. And God is dividing asunder as to your body from your spirit because he killed the serpent, making Jesus in the image of the serpent. He hung the serpent up on a pole called the cross, as Moses did in symbolics. Hanging up on a pole that everyone that looked could say, that death was my death, and the bite of the serpent is no more, and I'm free. And so then the brazen serpent that could not be hurt, brazen in that fire would not hurt it, in that he was holy and godly. The wrath of God could not hurt it. It come right through the fire. And so then, as we say, the king snake, the protector around when bad snakes are there, the non-poisonous. I remember him well when I was a child. So then it was hanged there at Calvary, and God smote the old serpent. And he ended the old serpent, and the serpent seed was dead, and it was now gone. It was no more. It couldn't get over. It couldn't get over the flood. It couldn't get over the flood. Everything that comes past Calvary is fallen from grace and under the law if it's not the children of God, which means it is dead, Karen, floating on the water out there. Until it all is taken away. All is gone. And the last call is come, great men and rich men and all kind of men, to the supper of the Lord. Whereas it is speaking of the slain when the valley runs with blood, and when the vultures and everything come to eat of the dead carrion from the Battle of Armageddon. Carrying on over to the final analysis of the great war, continual death. Continual slaughter going on over the Jews, even representing this, even through the Dark Age, through the Holocaust, because of the rejection of God. That is to say, their bodies dying so that my body would not have to die. Jesus, the head, and them, the members. But as the head comes back, so shall the members. But folks, we have Christ right now, and so is the members. Our head is here right now. Let's give him a hand. And so is the members of his body, for he is the Christ. And he forever lives and reigns within our heart. And he speaks to us as through the mind, just as he did when that mind was in his human body. So is it in his body as of today. And we are ambassadors for Christ, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto the Lord. So then, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. For no man can receive anything save it be given him of God. And the Bible said the wicked shall not see when this good cometh. For the eyes, even the eyes of the understanding, have been blinded because they are children of darkness. And that blindness is darkness, that intellectual darkness that came through Eve, through Adam, as in her being the mother of all living, and Adam and him all die, and you being the children of Adam, you cannot see, you are blind. Satan lives as the intellectual veil of death within you, which veil remains over the heart to keep faith down, the same veil that was over Moses' face, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that glory which is now gone and abolished, or that which was, saying that this light is the unveil, taking away the veil as to the body of Moses, as to Christ, the veil representing the coming of the body of Jesus, which veiled the Shekinah glory until his death, as to the rending of the veil, as to the revealing of this great light of understanding, this mind of Christ, this great revelational truth of eternal life by faith, translation by faith of this great revealed understanding, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened to comprehend heights, depth, width, and length. So then, that veil is still over the face and minds of the people. That death veil is still there. Their intellectual concept of God is still there. But by faith, we're children of light. We're not children of darkness. That day is not coming upon us unawares. To some of you, it hasn't come. To some of you, it isn't coming for a long time. To some of you, you're not worried about it because you're intellectually ignorant and blinded by the darkness. And the Bible said the prince of this world, even Satan that saveth the things of the flesh, of which you gullibly follow after, having the love of the world in you, the love of the Father's not there. Therefore, that spirit of darkness that blinded your eyes, that ye be blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But with us, we are children, not of darkness, not a creature of darkness, but a child of light. So then we walk in the light as he is in the light. We know this because we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Let's give him another hand, can we? Well, as the song said, we could go on and on talking about this good old way, talking about the Lord. I know that they have a program with a fall called the Old Fashioned Country Hour. We don't have that name. That's a real good name. We don't have that name, but if this sounds down to earth enough for people to receive it and love it and get a hold of it, oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad to know that. So then, who are we? What are we? Where are we? Why is it the end of the world when the revelation comes? Because the revelation is the light, and in the beginning was the light, and in the end is the light. And it is a world of light with the Father of light and the children of light. And this whole world is but a shell and vanity of darkness, of intellectual concept, of all the activities of the children of the world. And their confinement is darkness, even eternal darkness. And they cannot see this light because they have no eyes to see. Having eyes as to natural eyes, they see not as to spiritual things. Having ears as to natural ears, they hear not as to spiritual things. So then, they are children of darkness, which means ignorance. They cannot understand. For the Bible said, the righteous shall understand, even the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, but the wicked shall not understand. They shall hear, but they have not ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and they cannot understand. But we can understand. So then the world is dissipating, and the world is falling away, and the world is going, because the light is the power of consummation that is consuming that of vanity and of the veil and of the darkness. And when the day star comes, when it peeks over the horizon, then the darkness of light, night begins to dissipate, and the light begins to reveal the image that's been camouflaged by the veil. Even the veil, as we speak of Moses' face, even the veil that was over Rebekah's face that had to be removed in the secret chambers before she could be one with Isaac, as them beholding one another face to face. Even the veil as to your own companion before you become one, it is removed. So then we find that he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. The veil was never removed. I never knew you. The Bible said Adam knew his wife. But he said, I never knew you. Until Christ be formed within you, I never knew you. I travail, Paul said, until sonship as to the image be brought forth, that you decrease and he increases. So we find that the world is gone. The revelation has come. The veil has been rent in twain. It was at Calvary. The book was open as to Jesus, the rent veil. And now the books are to be open, even to you as to the membership of his body. Books, plural. And the books were open. And the world was judged out of the things that was written in the books. That is to say, the things that was done to you, whether good or bad, as to friends of the bridegroom or enemies. And the charge is doing it unto the Lord. When saw we you hungry and didn't feed you, or naked and didn't clothe you? Didn't you prophesy in our streets? He said, depart from me that work iniquity. I never knew you. And the Bible said, when the book was open, as this being given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was slain and the veil rent as to the open book there, it was given to us in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at Calvary. So then the veil has been rent in twain. The books are to be open. For the Bible said, ye are an epistle that's known and read of all men. And the Bible says that he was the Word as to the book, made flesh, for lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. So he loosed the seals thereof, because he was the one that sealed it, fulfilled it as the Old Testament, as the law, every jot and tittle, folded it up, laid it away at his death. So then when he was resurrected, as to the third day, a day with God is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Then that means that we've come over to the day of the resurrection where he looses the seals of the book. Delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, as it was with Daniel, 490 years determined upon thy people, 70 weeks, Daniel. And we get our week when we go down and we see Jacob serving for Rachel, and he got Leah. And the man said, it's not so in our country that you can take the younger before the elder. You must serve again and fulfill her week, which was 7 years. And then you can have her. So as it was Daniel's 70 weeks, as to 7 years, as to a week, 490 years. So then we see the same symbolics here that we speak of concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand again, and let's all stand together, can we? So then it's later than you think. It's much later than you think. So then we've been walking with the Lord now. The Bible says that the heavens still declares handiwork, and that knowledge would increase, and the earth and the heavens and the seas would be filled with this knowledge, in that all of it is the Word made manifest, as to let there be and there was. And when the veil comes off as to the intellectual darkness, in that the day star has come and the day has dawned as to the day star in your heart, now you see those beautiful things as the Word, as the Spirit becoming a Word to become an image, whether fleshly or whatever, when it said, let there be. And so we enter back into the originality of God as to where we was. Jesus said, in heaven. We came from heaven, we go back to heaven. That is, from the Spirit I came, to the Spirit I return. And if I go, I'll come again for you, because you're also spiritual. You're not of this world. If you're of the world would love you. He said, but either of the world, you come from the dust, you come from the world, you go back to the dust. All right, let's sing a little chorus, can we? So they that mind the things of the world are worldly minded. And the Bible said they are earthy. And they that mind the things of heaven as the mind of Christ, they are heavenly. So to be carnally minded as to things of the earth is death. To be heavenly minded as to the things of the Spirit is to have life. I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You know, in the Old Testament, in the years gone by, people, they were realistic. When they thought about the devil, they knew that he was a horrible, hideous, real power that could destroy. And they didn't command him like someone would a kitten, you know, as to a fictitious mind of saying, "Get thee behind me, devil." But they realized that they were facing something that was powerful enough to destroy the whole world in a stroke, if God would allow it. And they fasted and they prayed and they lived an overcoming life and they lived clean and holy, that when they met with temptation, manifold temptations and sorrows and heartaches, they could turn and say, "Satan, I adjure thee by the name of the living God to leave me, thou unclean spirit." And they faced reality. And when they called on God, he wasn't a myth. You know, as to some song of someone, as to a make-believe. But they knew he was a living, resurrected Jesus Christ that was alive from the dead. And when they communicated with him, they communicated with him as the Almighty God. And as the present help in the time of need, to say, "Lord Jesus, help me. Stand by me, Lord," as the songwriter said, "stand by me when all hope is failing. Stand by me. Stand by me, Lord." So then the church of today has become a joke in a lot of ways. That is to say, the church world. And it's become a game. And the reality has slipped away. So it's become powerless, faithless. Jesus said, "Faithless, perverse generation." Or that is, "You're faithless because you're perverse. That is contrary to the way of light, as to godliness. How long shall I be with you?" That is, "How long shall grace continue? Or how long shall I suffer you?" Or that is, "Put up with your ways." How long? Only God knows. We know as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the coming of the Lord is at hand, as you say. The coming of the Lord at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand to them that did not know the day of their visitation. For when he returns, he'll return to the Jews. The coming of the Lord at hand. The law and the prophets to Calvary. Since that time, the Lord came. And the kingdom of God came. And the will is to be done on earth as in your body as in heaven. And this was our prayer. Have you made any effort to see that it's done as to submission, as to conformity, as to a full reward, as to a full measure, as to going on with the Lord? Someone would think, "Well, you might think I'm carnal minded, Brother Pike. You might think this, but I want you to know I'm getting all of this. I'm getting all of this. I know you're going to put it in your notebook. And then you're going to continue to be hard-hearted and smart, arrogant, and feel that you did all of that, still got through it, and bless God, you weren't like the preacher said, you still got it. But you're only blind and having strong delusions. You didn't get anything. You're ignorant. Your mind is darkened by your foolishness. You've not recognized anything because you have no sonship about you. Even if you could get it, which you can't, you're not even see when good comes. You're blinded by the ignorance that is in you, even the darkness. Under the control of the prince of darkness, taking into captivity his will. That's why you have the nature you have. The rebellion, the contrariness. But even if you could, without all of that, the Bible said, having all knowledge, without charity, nothing but death. Love is as strong as death. Nothing can take you over except the love of God, which you don't have because you don't manifest it. And the child's known by his doing. The Father of spirits, he weigheth the spirit. I check your spirit, not I, but the Lord. And then when you come in, any physician that would check the subject as to the interior by the x-ray, which is discernment, as typically speaking. So then I examine it. And when I go to get control of your spirit, is to check your spirit, to see what it's like. As to minister the word, as to the remedy of God. I look and it comes in, but it comes in according to the condition. I not only pick your spirit up, but I pick up whatever it is in your spirit. Whatever thorn, whatever evil spirit, as to a conglomeration of lust and desire, ambition, personal feelings or thoughts, or gossiping, hunger for money or the things of the world, or passions, whatever it is, you know, your spirit comes in. That comes in with it because that's with you. And then we have to differentiate as it comes in. And we have to carefully, like a physician, cut that defective part out with the word. That sword that's sharp, that two-edged sword. All we have to discern, we have to bring forth a remedy that can cause all of that to be eradicated and taken out of your spiritual system so that we don't be contaminated with those things or aren't taken with those things. We have to, as the physicians, a lot of times the gloves and all the other things that they do to keep from touching the human body because they know the disease is there. Even as the disease aid, as they call it. See, but nevertheless, those things come in. Those things are there. But wouldn't it be good if you would examine yourselves and then chasten yourselves to submission and prayer and surrender and conformity to every thought of your own rebellious mind being gone, your own hard heart as to set in your ways, as to the lack of surrender and mellowness and sweetness of a day-by-day disposition. Wouldn't it be good if all of us gone that you might have that kind of disposition as to sweetness? See, to get it out of your system. Sing that song, Room at the Cross, can we sing it? So there's room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing this little chorus one time. Give me another chorus. The altars are open as we sing this chorus. You're welcome to come. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer. Come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Head bending low, there was trouble in my soul, looking for the day it would end. But an old time preacher came a-calling one day, from the good book he read a few words. Now I can say, there's nothing in my way, I came a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little
closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. You're heavy load of life, and your days were bright when you come a little closer. One more time. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to my Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little, one more time together. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. And I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. I can see the mountain top. And when you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. For I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry. Love the Lord. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in faultless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Oh, I'm ready for that bridegroom. Are you really ready? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in faultless white, and I'm ready for the bride's.
singing with me now.
Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for...
Yeah, if you're ready for the bridegroom, sing it with me now.
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready one more time together. Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting spotless white, and we're ready for that bridegroom. One more time together. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready one more time together.
I believe some of you really are.
Oh, I'm ready with all of your might now.
With all of your heart now, with all of your mind now, with all of your strength.
Let's love Him. Let yourself go with God. Let your spirit go with God. Forget the things of the past. Forgetting that that's behind, we're one with Him now. See, the great day of the salvation has come. It's His righteousness. Not imputing our trespasses unto us. One more time together. Are you free in the spirit? The anointing break the yoke. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, that's right.
Come on now. Faith is going to do it.
Ready for the bridegroom. So be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. And just think now, He's on His way, and you got to meet Him. Will you be glad to see Him? Will you be glad to see Him? Will you be glad to see Him? Can you think in your heart, Jesus, I know I've done you wrong. But the songwriter said, oh, how I've suffered. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm for you. I'm not going to do that anymore. Never again will I do that, Lord. Never again. I'm ready now, Lord. For we're ready for our bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready by faith for Him to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white.
Are you dressed in spotless white? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You got that garment? If you can, you can go.
Oh, get ready
for the bridegroom to come. Oh, get ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. So get ready for the bridegroom to come.
Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand if you're ready. Clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord's looking down from heaven. The Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp round about us. And the Lord Himself is in the midst of us when we come together in His name. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus we sing.
I will praise Him.
Can you close your eyes? Can you lift your hands up?
Pray
from your heart. God is a spirit. Will you let your spirit go out to God by faith in His righteousness and just drink in the sunshine of His glory and His love? Let His spirit quicken your mortal body. The Bible said the spirit will quicken your mortal body. It dwells within you. Can you just love Him now? Make love to Jesus. Make love to Jesus.
washed away every stain.
Come on, once again, Snap.
So I will praise Him. I will praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we go to Knoxville to a little mission up there, and I know that some of you will go. Go praising the Lord. Go to pray with me. Go to strengthen me as I minister, whether it's to one or whether it's to ten. Go in faith. Ask the Lord in faith, nothing wavering, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And the ones that stay home on the home front, do something for the Lord Jesus. Do something for the Lord. Let's labor together that we all might be partakers.
So I will praise Him. And I will praise Him.
Can you praise Him?
Let us give Him glory, oh ye. For His blood has washed away every stain.
One more time together.
And I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb's praise.
Sing it with me.
Let us give.
Going to ask Brother Mac if he's here. Brother Mac will come and dismiss us. Can you sing with me now?
His blood is washed away.
One more time together. Can we sing it? Lift your hands up and love Him now.
And I will praise.